Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before I start this sermon, let me ask you some questions. How many of you have brothers or sisters in your family? Okay, I know here a lot of us do, and did you fight a lot? Okay. Today I'm also going to talk about some fighting inside the family. That's a fighting between Jacob and Esau. I know many of you know this story really well, and but let's look at it in a spiritual perspective. The fight between Jacob and Esau is the fight between spirit and flesh. We have also seen this in the Old Testament again and again. The fight between Cain and Abel, and the fight between David and Saul, and here the fight between Jacob and Esau. The fight between Jacob and Esau is different from the fight we experience in our home, okay? We normally fight with small things, parents' attention, and toys, computer time, but this fight spiritually is profound, and the consequence is either life or death, so it's very different. We know, like the scripture said, the fight is about the birthright. I want to compare the life journey these two boys, or these two brothers, have walked, and how they ended up very differently today. And because I know many of you are growing up, and some of you have begun college and started working, so hopefully the lesson we learned today can help you direct you on the right path when you start your work, start working on your life journey. Jacob is one of the four major ancient Israel chiefs, tribal chiefs in Israel history, and he is also one of the most important characters in the Old Testament. The Bible dedicated about 25 chapters in Genesis to record his life from his birth to his death in detail. As we know, he was the second son in Isaac's family, but somehow he was chosen by God to be the firstborn, and he really fought really hard for that, and he was successful, and eventually he secured the birthright. It's interesting if you look at the whole Genesis, you compare the personality of Jacob from his youth to his age, to the age that Jacob, when he got old, you can see his personality completely changed. Okay, we'll analyze in detail why is that. Like his name also indicated that. We know he was named Jacob when he was born. Jacob means grasp the heel. That's the literally that's what it means. And later on, when he died, he was named what? Israel. What's the meaning of Israel? Israel, the word itself in Hebrew, means he struggled with God. You can see the tension for Jacob has turned from wrestling with people to wrestling with God. So he became a godly man, God-centered when he died. He became a spiritual giant when he died. Okay, let's look at Jacob's life. There are five critical events in Jacob's life that determine his fate. His birth and his dealings. He stole two things. One is the birthright, and the second is the blessings. And also his walking with God. And also his God discipline of Jacob. We know he lived in his uncle's house for 20 years. So that's God's discipline of Jacob. And also he wrestled with God. So those five things really shaped up his life journey. But today I can only talk about two events, his birth and his dealings. So that's part, bad part of his life I'm going to start talking about. And in the future I can share with you God's discipline, his walking with God, and his wrestling with God. When we talk about the birthright, we need to find what it really means in the Jewish culture, and what it means for Jacob. There are four aspects to the birthright for Jacob. The first one is, if you are the firstborn, you have the right to inherit double portion of your father's inheritance. So that's the first benefit. The second, you have the authority of being the fatherly figure in your family. That's the second benefit or blessing. The third one is, you are entitled to the land of the promise, which means when they migrate to Canaan later on, the birthright, the firstborn has the right to inherit the future land. Lastly, spiritually speaking, being the firstborn, you have the right to carry on the line of promise, which means the covenant with Abraham will come from that line. Basically, if you are the firstborn, the eventual salvation and blessing to mankind will come from your line, not the other one. Okay, so that's the four blessings for being the firstborn. Well, probably recognizing this, Jacob, even in his mother's womb, he fought really hard, because like we read in the scripture, they jostled each other even during Rebecca's pregnancy. And what happened at his birth? He tried to grab the heel of Esau, so basically he didn't he wanted to hang on, and so he doesn't want to fall behind. Well, that wasn't very successful, so two tries. So he gave the final try. So he waited his opportunity, so when he grew up, finally the opportunity came. He took advantage of Esau's weakness. So when Esau was hungry, he cooked some delicious stew, and basically was successful stealing the birthright. Later on, he teamed up with his mother, Rebecca. And what did he do? We didn't read here. He basically tricked Esau and stole the blessing from he tricked Isaac and stole the blessing from Esau. Well, by looking at this, if we summarize Jacob's personality when he was young, we know in flesh, young Jacob was very energetic, he was ambitious, and he had a lot of drive and initiatives. And he was very smart too. See, he can do whatever he wants, and he can design some very smart scheme to achieve his goal, like he did stealing the birthright and also stealing the blessings from Esau. On the other hand, we can also say Jacob is a man of intense affection. I really appreciate Jacob's personality very much, because when he loves someone, he truly loves someone. This shows when he proposed to marry Rachel, and how long he worked for to pay the price. He worked free for 7 years. And not only that, he saw those 7 years as a few days because he loved Rachel so much. So he's a man of intense affection. And that's something that should really inspire us. Because if you really truly love being a God or brothers or sisters or people, you should show the intensity and love them with your whole heart and your soul and your strength. Well, if you just read the scripture, just read the story, it's easy for us to judge Jacob and form some snap judgment. Okay, this is a bad guy because he fights a lot, and he's a nuisance because he just pests, okay? And he's dishonest. But if you read the scripture really careful, and the more you read it, the more you would appreciate or envy Jacob's personality. Why is that? Because we can say Jacob actually has some very good spiritual traits that we can learn from. I'm going to show you a few. First, Jacob is a man of faith. He has a lot of faith. As a young boy, I think when he was a young boy, I think before he was 15, Abraham was still alive. okay, his grandfather was still living in the house, and Isaac was around. So you have those two spiritual giants. They must have told stories about the walking of Abraham with God, God's promise about the promised land, and the eternal blessing. Okay, little Jacob must have heard these stories. And you think he believed them? Yes, I think he must have firmly believed these promises. They are not dreaming or daydreaming or lying. These are real, real promises from God. So he must have kept that in heart. And so that's why he fought so hard. He fought with his heart out, you know, for these blessings. So he was relentless because he had this faith. This is true. This is going to happen someday, and I'm going to be part of that. So he really kept that to himself. He was also a man of spirit. If you compare Jacob and Esau, like the scripture said, Esau is what type of person? He's wild. Okay, he likes outdoor activities. He likes hunting. He likes chasing animals, chasing prey. And what Jacob is like? He's a quiet man. He likes to stay in the tent. So he likes to build a relationship with God and with his mother, his nurse Deborah, and later on with his wife, Rachel. So he's totally different. These two boys are completely opposite. Okay, one is restless and one spends a lot of time meditating. He cherishes the inheritance passed down from Abraham and believe God will preserve the promised seed and will bring salvation and blessing through the Jews. So he's living in a hope, you know, he has something to look forward to. But I think Esau he lives an aimless life. He just wanders around and age and die, basically. There's no purpose in his life. And lastly, Jacob is a man of God. I think at the battle, when God revealed, for the first time, God revealed to Jacob, the scripture said he was overwhelmed with joy and peace. And he was stunned. He said, God was here with me. I didn't even know it. So he is a man of God. Especially in the later days of Jacob's life, he became a prayer. For everything he does, he prays. Before he does everything, he prays. And he also walks with God all the time. Well, some of the part of the character we don't like, we just mentioned, I think God even dealt with that in later days of his life, and he was a completely changed man. If we look at his brother Esau, well, they grew up together. You think Esau might have heard about the stories from Abraham and Isaac? Yeah, he heard the same stories, and that's let's see what his response or reaction was. First, Esau despised the inheritance. Why he despised the inheritance? Because at that time, the Abraham family or Isaac family was not rich. Okay, the only piece of land or real estate they own is that graveyard Abraham bought, okay, where Sarah was buried. Okay, very small, probably a piece of land for grave. So there was not much wealth in the family. So he despised that. Maybe he thinks, that's nothing. I don't care. Or he may think, I'm a capable man. I'm a skillful hunter. Maybe I can accumulate a lot of wealth myself. So maybe that's the reason, we're just guessing. Secondly, Esau does not believe in God's promise. I think he listens to Abraham and Isaac, when they talk about the covenants, the promises, they think they were just daydreaming, or they were just telling fairy tales, and he can't trust them. So he does not have the faith to believe what he said is true, because that's something in the future, and he doesn't believe that. The last point about Esau is he's very materialistic. He cares a lot about tangible things, tangible delights, the things that make his body satisfied, make him happy. He wants immediate satisfaction. To a point, he couldn't even overcome the craving for food when he got hungry. So, okay, just one bowl of rice soup, that will do it. Okay, he is willing to sell his birthright to his brother. I also think about Esau. I was wondering, do you think he really knows what the true meaning of the birthright? I doubt he grasped the whole meaning of being the firstborn and the blessings associated with it. Probably he doesn't have a clue what it's about and why Jacob was fighting so relentlessly for it. You know, he probably doesn't understand why, you know, why you're fighting so hard for it, you know, have it. So he probably doesn't care too much about the birthright. The application from Esau, I think he's a warning for all of us here. I know many of you are born in a Christian family, and many of your parents are devout Christians. But let's ask you the question, what does it mean being a Christian? Does it mean a lot to you, or just, okay, I'm a Christian, so I see that out of convenience. What does it really mean to be a true Christian? Do I have the drive or zeal like a Jacob to long for a close relationship with God? Do I have that zeal? In America, you know, this land is blessed with material. But is your spirit alive and vibrant, or is it endowed with this overfeeding of these materials? These are some of the questions we should ask ourselves. I have an example because I know Jeffrey likes electronics, my son. He plays a lot, and many of you also do that. We tried very hard in our family, you know, try to discipline and live a disciplined life and control, restrict how much time he spends in front of the computer. It's hard. I have a friend and who has a son who is very, very smart. You know, he's very smart. He loves electronics. And through high school, you know, his parents are around and they supervise him a lot. And he got very good grades. He ended up going into a top college. But it's outside of his parents' control. My school is in college because he lives in a different town. And there's no watchover anymore, so he has free time. He became addicted to electronics and totally lost control of himself. And eventually, he dropped out of school after 1 year. Well, maybe your situation is not that bad. But how much time are you really spending, or how much effort are you making every day trying to satisfy your physical needs? And there are so many resources in this country, so many ways we can satisfy our body and make our happy or make us feel good. But how much time you set aside every day, or how much effort you are making trying to satisfy your spiritual needs? Are you neglecting your spiritual needs? So most of the time, if you observe the people around you, well, especially when you are young, your body is very strong, and you have a lot of energy. But I would have to say your spirit is weak. Okay, when you get to my age, when you get older, it's very bad if you physically you're weak, and spiritually, you are weak too. So it's good to pay attention to your spiritual needs when you are young and work on it. Okay, so grow your body and grow your spirit at the same time. Because otherwise, you will pay the price for the consequences. I think Jesus taught Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Here's what he said. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. What we are saying here, what we are doing here is not to deny the physical meat. Okay, be a holy man, you know, do not eat or drink. There's nothing wrong to live a comfortable life, have a comfortable lifestyle that fits your needs or fits your means or resources. If you have the resources, yeah, just live comfortably. I think the what you are condemning here is the spiritual negligence, spiritual blandness, the overpowering by physical means, indulging in consumerism, commercialism. So that's what we're condemning here. Like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Paul warned us, if you care too much about your body, if you think too much about earthly things, what's going to happen to you? He says, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and the glory is in their shame. So it doesn't look good if you just live a physical life, material life. It's not very good. These two boys, Jacob and Esau, they were born as twins, the same family, as a Christian family, 100% Christian family. But somehow they took a very different path. They walked a very different journey in their lives. In the end, the younger brother, Jacob, went through a lot of hardships and sufferings. But he was transformed. He was a transformed man. He transformed from being flesh to being spiritual. He ended up like a spiritual giant, and he clings to the Lord and lives by his promise and walks with God every step of his way. If you look at the age, Jacob, he was full of humility, and he has wisdom, and he has the spiritual maturity. Because of that, when he gets old, he was well respected even in Egypt. I think he was treated like a prince, and he blessed the Pharaoh. And that's not something anybody can do that, you can bless the Pharaoh. So he has the spiritual authority. Even the Lord of God claimed, the God is the God of Jacob. So he is the God of Jacob. And that tells you what kind of person he has become. He poured his blessings on Jacob and extended his blessings to 12 Israel tribes, and also turned that blessing into an eternal one through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you compare Esau's ending, what happened to Esau? I think that was a short sentence. And when Isaac died, both Jacob and Esau came and buried Isaac. And that's it. And his offspring, the Edens, what happened to them? They completely disappeared from history as a nation. They were wiped out. Why is that? Why is the difference? I think it's the spirit. If you don't have a spirit, when your body ages, when your body dies, when it decays, everything went with it. There's nothing left. For this reason, I think Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verse 13, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Well, be careful about that. If you live a material life, if you don't care about the spiritual life, God hates you. It's very serious. I'm sorry, I hate me too. It's a warning to myself. Because I'm about to give an example. Because I think God sometimes does hate me because I'm weak. Here is the example why. I'm weak. About 11 years ago, I had a bleeding stomach ulcer. Okay, and before I was a very strong man. You know, I can starve for 24 hours, no problem. Because in mainland China, you know, when I was in college, we travel on the train to go home, and I can starve for even 34 hours, 24 hours, no problem. Once I got on the train, I don't eat, I just drink. And also, I can hold myself, I don't go to the bathroom for a long time. So I had a very strong will. But after that bleeding ulcer, and physically I was very weak. If I skip a meal, I really upset. I got irritated, you know, I'm not myself anymore. So about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we took a trip to a Smoky Mountain, you know, summer vacation. You know, so we went up there. The first day we drove to Chattanooga, because there was some nice places, there were not nice places to see there. Unfortunately, when we got there, you know, I drove about 9 hours, 8.5 hours, you know, I drove myself and drove the family there. When we got there, it was getting dark, and so we found our hotel. And the hotel, somehow we screwed up the reservation. It was in a very, very bad neighborhood, you know. I turned me off, basically. I said, what is this? You know, this is a vacation, you know, it's supposed to be nice. Anyways, it was, you know, very bad neighborhood, and it was getting late. After 8 hours driving, I was tired and hungry. And the bad thing is, you know, there was no restaurant. Of course, you know, because who would open a restaurant in a neighborhood like that? I'm sorry. Anyway, it's very hard to find a restaurant. But eventually, you know, we drove around. Okay, we found a Chinese restaurant. Okay, you can imagine what it looks like. So I said, well, let me go inside and check anyway. So I went inside, and you know, not surprised, no surprise that the food was, I mean, the sanitation, and you know, it's, well, you could imagine yourself. But you know, the hunger was there, you know, the urge, you know, was so intense, you know, like, I was torn, you know, what should I do? So, we almost got in, and just sat down and eat. And then I thought about the story of Esau. Because I was thinking about my sermon the whole trip, you know, to Chattanooga. And all of a sudden it came to my mind. So I told Susan and the boys, oh no, turn around, let's get back to our car. So basically I drove off. Well, to make the story short, you know, 10 minutes later, you know, we were sitting in a nice restaurant. And in the downtown area, Chattanooga downtown is very nice because there's Riverwalk and, you know, there are some nice restaurants there too. So anyway, we ate a nice meal, nice atmosphere, very relaxing. So after meal, I was so happy. I even gave a very generous tip, you know, to the waitress. So I was thinking, yeah, this is exactly what we should do. What is the lesson we can learn from this message? Well, I challenge everyone here to listen to the sermon. Try to be like a Jacob. Raise up, lift up your spirit. Okay, be a man of spirit, not a man of flesh. Pay close attention to your spiritual needs. And they are often overlooked by our physical body. How do you practice this? I mean, it's easy to say, how do you do it? Actually, it's very simple. If you set aside some time every day, pray to the Lord, read a few verses from the Bible, meditate every day, well, you will find the benefit. Just get out of your busy schedule every day, spend some quiet time with the Lord. And that has dual benefits actually. It can rescue your body, it can rescue your soul. Because we are so busy every day. We run around like crazy every day. So sometimes it's very good to slow down, be still, and you can enjoy the presence of the Lord. If you really want to grow up, be a spiritual guy or spiritual girl, you want to really be spiritual, be like Paul, be to your body, to make it your slave instead of the other way around. This is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. If you try to live a spiritual life, if you try to live in Christ, I can guarantee you, when you grow older, you might be like me, you have different disease. Your body is weak, but your spirit is young and vibrant and strong. If you look at the true Christians who are around us, when they get to 70, when they get to 80, their spirit doesn't die or doesn't get weaker. In Christ, we can always reinvent ourselves, not like Esau. Everything gets aged. But in Christ, we can always get renewed. We can reach new heights. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we just thank you today for bringing brothers and sisters here so we can worship you, please you, and hear your word. Give us a humble heart. Give us peace and joy inside. So when you are with us, our heart is satisfied. Be the center of our life. Give us the spirit to walk with you. Lord, I pray for the young brothers and sisters in this room. You lead them every step of the way in their life. So when they grow up, they will be more like you. And they will grow up to be blessings for other people. And they will glorify your name. And for the older folks, oh Lord, keep their heart in you so that we will mature spiritually in you. We give you all glory in Jesus' name.